Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
So when you look at this, what you're finding are four things that God begins to establish in the lives of men and what He wants from us as men as we lead our families and our communities and our governments and our societies. That is not to say that women cannot be leaders. I do not believe that. That's obvious in this church. However, today is Father's Day. Somebody say amen. So what we need to realize is that when it comes to men specifically, the masculine figure, God is saying to them in verse 4, I want men to model submission. What he's saying in verse 5 is I want men to model absolute love. What he's saying in verse 6 is I want men to model how it is to love the Word of God. I want and to treasure God's Word. When you look at verse 7 and 9, you see where God says, I want men to learn how to teach God's Word. So when you look at what it means to be masculine, what it means to be a man, what it means to be a father, what it means to be a grandfather or a son, God makes it very clear in the foundational passages of building the familiar system, family system within Israel. And He says, I want men to learn submission. I want them to learn how to absolutely love something. I want them to learn how to treasure God. God's Word, and I want them to learn to teach God's Word. And no man is released from this responsibility. And what we find out is that God is asking from us a verbal commitment and a visible commitment. Now, guys, I want to talk to you from my heart real quick today. You know, we are living in an age, a dispensation, where masculinity is under attack like we've never imagined masculinity would be under attack. If you told me when I was a teenager, which I'm not that old, that I would see the things that I'm seeing right now on the attack of being masculine, I would say you've absolutely lost your mind. But there's this word the liberal left is throwing around called toxic masculinity. And the left attacks manliness and what it means to be a man. And we're living in an age where TV makes a man look stupid, makes a man look ignorant, makes a man look self-centered, makes a man look like a drunk, makes a man look like an elevated frat boy. And the problem with that is that goes directly against what the Bible requires of men for masculinity and manhood. And so when you look at what the media is spewing out right now, they are saying that toxic masculinity, manliness is actually to blame for sexism in the workplace. And they are saying that masculinity is actually what's behind school shootings because most people who shoot up a school are young boys. I'm telling you, it's not about masculinity being toxic. We need to remind that the Bible says that a way seemeth right unto a man, but the end leads to destruction. Gentlemen, there is only one truth in this world that is absolute truth, and it is the Word of the living God. And this Bible, you can take it to the bank. Somebody say amen. It tells us how to live. It tells us how to build our families. It tells us how to be leaders. It tells us what's required of us. And it gives us, in essence, the way to fulfillment and happiness. And there are so many men unfulfilled, with no purpose, wandering around today, and we wonder why this is happening. It's because we've dumbed down what it means to be masculine. Masculinity is not wearing a wife beater's t-shirt, ordering your woman around while she walks 3 foot behind you. That is not masculinity. That is the sin of Adam and pre-Adamic or Adamic nature. It is the result of the fall. That is not what a man is. And so when you look at TV, they're portrayed as barely literate, and they talk about sexism. But here, I got something I want to say. Honor and integrity aren't toxic old school notions. How does standing up to adversity make you toxic in your masculinity is what I would like to ask. Never, men, apologize for your Y chromosome. Smashing masculinity doesn't improve men. It leaves them weak, without heroes, and without a philosophy to follow. We need men of character more than ever in the history of the world. And what I want, and I read this article and I had to read it twice to even make sure I was reading it the right way, because I was so shocked by this article, and nothing pretty much shocks me anymore. But there was an article called 5 Ways to Raise Emotionally Intelligent Boys in the Era of toxic a masculinity. And I thought, well, maybe this will help with the sermon. And let me tell you what number one was. Number one was allow boys to define their own gender by exposing them to girly things without stigma. Am I the only one that thinks too many people have been drinking the Kool-Aid? Can I see your heads? Social sciences are clear about fatherhood. As a matter of fact, 50% of all boys in this country right now are below the professional standards of what is required by our educational system. When you look at criminal behavior, when you look at poverty, when you look at the direct result, it's the absence of a father. Boys are not shooting other human beings in schools because they're masculine. They're shooting them because there's an absence of fathers and there is an absence of purpose in that young man's life. And guns don't kill people. People kill people. That's right. Amen. It's just true. The world says, when the world says that a man is nothing more than a nice window dressing to a family, it leaves a man without a mission. And listen to me, ladies. No woman ever had a baby without a man. There is no family without the seed of a man. And men are different from women. That doesn't mean that there's not equality amongst men and women. There is this toxic danger going on in our society to boys when men fail to step in. And so we need, as men, to rally around and begin in the church, of any more important than any other place, to transition healthy understanding of what manhood is. Good manhood doesn't just happen. It has to be taught. In Genesis 1 and 26 through 27, men and women were created with a purpose. It's obviously there's complementary differences. The sexual body shows you the difference between a man and a woman. And when you look at unbiased studies, there is a psychological difference between a man and a woman, mentally, emotionally, and psychologically. But what we need to be reminded today, dads, is that God engineered a man to build families, to build communities, and to build societies. And he gave us instructions on how to direct our energies towards a productive end. The result comes when men of character begin to rise up in our culture and begin to bless those that are around them. Men are supposed to be a blessing to a culture, not a predator to a culture. And what we begin to find out is the Bible says how men should act in Ephesians 5. It says that a man is to love his wife and to live sacrificially. Sacrificial living is the essence of masculinity in the Bible. If you don't believe me, ask God the Father, who gave his best and only Son, that whosoever shall believe should not perish but have everlasting life. If you don't believe that there's a role of authority, not talking about inequality between the sexes, but a role of authority in the Bible, you need to understand that even Jesus points to the Father as the one in which all wisdom comes from, and the one in which all authority, I should say, comes from. And we need to realize 1 Timothy 5 and 8 says a man has a duty to provide for their family. Proverbs 20 and 29 says a man has greater capacity for strength. That doesn't mean that there are not women who are stronger than men. I got a cousin who's a female who could whoop every boy in my high school. Still can. Matter of fact, I'm going to eat hamburgers with her this afternoon, more than likely. But at the same time, that the Bible does say that on the average that men are more apt for physical strength than anyone else. It's the way God created man to be. And we're living in such a screwed up world that you've got men who dress up like women, who've had sex changes, and I've dealt with a lot of people like that, and now they're wanting to compete against women in the Olympics. If I was a woman, I would be crying foul. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7 says that godly men actually regard women with honor. And there are women now who find offense and open the door for them. There are women now who find an offense when a man does any kind of thing like that for a woman. Now, that's not necessarily a biblical thing, but the Bible does say that men who are godly men are to honor women, not dishonor them. The Bible also talks about love, honor, and provide and protect. Those things are never going to go out of style. But ultimately, being masculine means that God has given you a power to conquer selfish ambitions. And so in modern society, they're renouncing God's standards and laws, and they view masculinity in contempt. And so how do you be a man in a culture in postmodernism that views masculinity in contempt? Where the gender roles are complete, not just the roles, gender itself is completely being attacked in this country and around this world right now. And if you want to read more about this, go buy a book from Nancy Piercy called Love of the Body. It is absolutely the most intelligent response I've ever read in my life to transgenderism, homosexuality, euthanasia, abortion, any kind of attack against the human body. Everybody ought to read that book. But when you're looking at what we're at right now, 1 Corinthians 6:13 says that there's a different way. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end leads to destruction. The Bible says, be on alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Do you realize that David's last words to his son Solomon was, act like a man? Do you realize Acts 13 and 21 says, keep up your courage, men. Don't let your courage fall in the last days. Let me tell you something. As a father, I want my kids to know a couple of things. I want them to know they're made in the image of God and that they're a boy or they're a girl. I want them to know, number two, that the Bible is the word of God and completely inerrant and accurate in all things and can be trusted on how you build your family. I want my kids to know that there's only one church, and that's the church of Jesus Christ. I want them to know that there are wicked people in this world who do not follow these principles and that there is a price to be paid for living such a life. I want them to know that God hates divorce and that God wants them to marry within their faith system. And I teach my children, if they're not spirit-filled and a Christian, you don't need to be dating them, because that's who we are as a family. I want them to know that baptism is important, that you need to be baptized in water. And I want them to know that sin is black, hell is hot, and eternity is forever. That's what I want my young men to know, my sons to know. I want them to know that you got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Romans 10 and 9. I want them to know you got to repent of your sins to be saved and repent of your sins to stay close to God. Acts 11 and 18. I want them to know that you got to confess with your mouth that you're a Christian. Romans 10. And I want them to know that you got to be baptized in water and become a disciple. Matthew chapter 28. I believe that fathers stand the greatest chance of renewing America more than anyone else at any given time. Somebody say amen. When Lucille Ball was asked on Merv Griffin, what's wrong with this world? Lucille Ball looked at Merv Griffin and said, that's easy. Papa's missing. There's a truth to that. The notion of responsibility is at the crux of true fatherhood. You're not allowed to call yourself a male, a man, a masculine human being in the Bible if you don't take responsibility for the seed you're sowing all over this world. Nothing makes me madder than two things. Watching fake preachers on television or Maury Povich and Steve what's-his-name and all those shows where these guys have six babies and six different mothers and take no responsibility for their children. That's not a man, that's a wimp. You're a man when you take responsibility for the seed you sow and the family that you're creating. The conscious sense of responsibility for the physical and the well-being of others is what marks a true father. And when you understand that you model and I model what Father God is like, then we understand that Father God isn't passive. He's not uninterested. As a matter of fact, he burst through heaven and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. God is also not uninvolved. John 3:16 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us because he calls us children of God. Our Heavenly Father doesn't run and hide and abandon us. No, he commits himself. 1 Corinthians 13 says he bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things. Our Heavenly Father is content to have his family not in disrecord, not in chaos. No, God the Heavenly Father wants his family in unification. Colossians talks about the bond of perfection. God isn't our Father, isn't half-hearted. He's not lukewarm, unfeeling in his attitude. In Zechariah, he says, I'm zealous for my children. God's not the kind of father that wouldn't see someone as his son and not his image. He talks about, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen my father. God didn't skirt his responsibility to placing his image into his son, into his grandsons, into his daughters, into his children. When you look at God, you find out he's the essence of what it means to be father. He's the essence of fatherhood. God is a good God. Somebody say amen. What you realize is that God is one person existing in three. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's like an egg. It's called the Trinity. Deuteronomy 6:04, "Hear, O Israel, there is only one God." But I want you to understand that there are attributes to God the Father that God created man. And because you come out of God, those attributes follow you as a man in masculinity and in manhood. One of those attributes is that God is a spirit. And that he has going to live forever. You are a spirit. You're not going to live in this body forever. You're going to go and live in another body for eternity. The Bible says God is transcendent. That means that there's a material world. God has placed you as a finite being in a material world for you to build families and create cultures that give God glory. When you look at God, he is eternal. You're going to find out that God is eternal and you are eternal. You're going to live forever as a father. God is self-existent. He is self-satisfied. God is omnipotent. In other words, God gave men power to build families and structures. If God is all-powerful, then that power came out of God into man. And you have to realize something. This isn't sexist. This is theology. God created the man, and the man is the one that came out of the woman, came out of the man. That's why the Bible says man is the glory of God and woman is the glory of man. That's theology. It has nothing to do with sexism. It has nothing to do with inequality. We're not talking about inequality. We're talking about men rising up and being the godly men God has called us to be. No one can affect government. No one can affect communities. No one can affect like a man that's living a godly life, full of character, that loves his family, provides, protects, and honors like a man can. You have to realize you are the seed of greatness in society. You are the seed of power in society because you come out of God the Father, and God the Father birthed you so that you could be an earthly representation of him. Amen. God is omnipresent. He, from a seed of a woman, a new young daughter or son is created in your image. Kenny Chesney has a song, and one of the phrases of the song is, "There's I'm pitching a ball with a boy that looks just like me." You're created in the image of God, and your children are created in your image. What kind of image does your children look like? God is holy. Men are to be set apart. God is love. Fathers are to lead their family with unconditional love. God is immutable. Men are to be consistent. God is good. Men are to provide. God is truth. Men keep their words. God of the Father of the Old Testament was a loving person. You don't believe me? Read Exodus 34 and 6. Because you see him being merciful and long-suffering and goodness and truth. The God of the Old Testament is forgiving. Psalms 51. The God of the Old Testament was full of justice. Ladies and gentlemen, men have a call to stand up and speak against injustice. All Christians, men and women, have this call on their life. No Christian is let loose or of their responsibility to speak for those that are being downtrodden. I taught my son that last night. He told me a story of a little boy that was being berated and about how no one took up for him, and the camp counselor was trying to help him. And I said, "Aiden, what did you do?" He said, "I became his friend. I teach my sons." Listen, there needs to be a revival of men who teach their families. Don't just lead them. Don't just provide for them. Just don't take them to Disney World. Just don't tell them how to shoot a gun. You need to teach your children. You need to teach your daughters. There's all kind of sociological evidence that talks about the impact of a dad upon a daughter. Her femininity is directly related to your touch. You have to realize that you have so much unleashed power in you that if you ever begin to use it, you will begin to be amazed at how God will form so many incredible families. And the church is only as strong as the godly men that are in it. You see, God is a justice. You see, a God is a covenant-keeping God. In Genesis 9, you see God the Father as a redeeming God. In Isaiah 44, you see God as a faithful God. In Psalms 36 and 5, you see God in the beginning as Elohim. You see him as El Elyon and El Shaddai and El Olam. You see God as Jehovah Nissi and Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Shalom, God of peace and God that provides and a God that is a banner. The Father creates and the Father created, and out of his creation came man. He came man. So I want to encourage all you fathers to pray with me that Malachi 4, 5, and 6 would return to Covenant Community Church like never before. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. That is always hermeneutically and exegetically a reference to the coming of Jesus Christ back to the earth after the crucifixion and resurrection. And he will restore. And what's going to happen in the end times? God wants to restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of their children to their fathers. He said, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The absence of godly fathers is actually what is cursing America. Now that may sound oversimplistic if you don't understand in depth everything I've talked about so far, but there's nothing more powerful than a dad. I got 7 desires for every man in this church. Number 1, that you would want your sons to grow up and be true men of God, above and beyond everything. A man will see to it that the pain and hardship fall on his lap before they'll ever fall upon those under his care. We need men who will stand up and be men again. Masculine men and not apologize for who God's created you to be. A man of God comes home not to be served but to serve. Mark 10. Jesus did that as our earthly father. We need men to lean into the sacrifice with unconquerable laughter in their hearts and be glad to be who God's called them to be. Men, we've been called by God, created by God specifically to sacrifice for our families. And ladies, when a man doesn't feel like he's needed, you have zapped him of his power and biblical authority. And I don't mean need because you need him to make a living. I don't want my daughters having to rely on a man to make a living. But a man has a need to be needed and admired. That's the way God created him. I want men in this church, number 2, to embrace their calling as protectors of the weak and speak up for those that are weak. Speak up for those that are weak in society. Speak up for those that cannot speak for themselves. See, masculinity is about taking responsibility for the physical, emotional, and spiritual safety of those under our care. And so if a man doesn't speak up for injustice, if he doesn't speak up for the weak, he's doing exactly what God did not create him to be. God created a man to take responsibility and to speak up and to be a protector. That's one of the key characteristics of a man. Number 3, I want men in this church and my sons to gladly submit to lawful authority. I want you to understand that masculinity, that is true masculinity, welcomes accountability, welcomes authority, and welcomes oversight. A man is in no position to expect obedience from others if he's not first eager to render it and be submissive to the Lord. That is why one of the most beautiful things in Judaism is the hat that they wear. That hat that you see Jewish people wearing means that the man is under authority of God. And every Friday night in a Jewish home that is an Orthodox Jew, they put that hat on. Every man wears that hat. I see them in the airports all the time when I travel. And that means to the sons and to the daughters and to the wives that I'm under authority to God. And you're under authority to me. And I'm leading my house in the fear and the admonition of God. You see, God wants sons And he wants fathers to gladly submit to authority. Why do you think this world is full of rebellious males? Because we don't have a normative experience of fathers submitting to authority. We prize in media men who rebel against authority. We wonder why we can't raise men who are full of honor and respect. Because we don't have men who are raising sons who show them how to honor and respect authority. You realize what a difference that would make in the schools? I'm praying that God will give us fathers to practice self-control. Paul singles out self-control as one of the fundamental callings of a young man in Titus 2 and 6. To renounce ungodliness and live under self-control. It's one of the fundamental aims of the Spirit of God. The fundamental aim of the Spirit is not to cause you to speak in tongues. It's to give you self-control. I'm praying that fathers will celebrate the wonders of femininity. 1 Corinthians 11 and 7 says the glory of a woman is attributed to the glory of a man, and the glory of a man is attributed to God the Father. That's not about inequality. It's about roles and responsibilities. I want men in this church to put away false masculinity, passivity, idolatry, abuse, and take the responsibility and repent before God and teach your children how to fear God and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, whether it's summertime in June or whether it's January in the winter. We're going to serve God. I want my sons and fathers in this church to see Jesus Christ as the ground and the goal of masculinity. There was never a greater model of masculinity than Jesus Christ. He is the essence of what that means. At the end of the day, what I'm asking God for is spiritual maturity. For men that pray and read their Bible and know how to teach the Bible to their children, what I'm praying for is personal maturity, responsible husbands and fathers, men who understand biblical functions and roles, responsibility to teach Christian boys in this church how to prepare for marriage, how to select mates, how to lead as fathers. And we've not done that yet, but that's going to be one of the next things I develop for catechism in this church. I don't know what age, but we need to begin to rally all of these programs for adolescents to where men are taught how to be fathers. What I'm praying for is the economic maturity for a man to know how to hold a job, for a man to know how to handle money. I'm praying for physical maturity, for a man to know how to protect his family. I'm praying for sexual maturity. Oh God, I'm praying for sexual maturity. For a man to know how to refrain the use of his seed and sow it only into a woman he commits to forever through the bonds of marriage. Do you know how many billions of dollars we'd save America if we'd lived by that one rule? I'm praying that men in this church gain a new moral maturity so that they can lead by examples of righteousness. I'm praying that we gain a new ethical maturity, which helps us to make responsible decisions. I'm praying that we get men who have a good grasp on worldviews and know how to understand a worldview and refute it when it doesn't line up with biblical authority. I'm praying that we get men who know how to be relational mature. Men, it's easier for you to get naked than it is for you to open up emotionally. I'm praying that we get men, once again, who know how to look someone in the eye, who knows how to carry on a conversation in business, who knows how to shake a hand, who knows how to respect a human being, and then maybe they won't see a whale more important than a human being sitting in a classroom. I'm praying for social maturity, where they make a contribution to society, where men make better communities. I'm praying for a verbal maturity, where men can communicate and articulate what it means to be masculine. I'm praying for a character maturity, where they demonstrate courage under fire. And I'm praying for a biblical maturity, where they enroll in leadership in this church, every man ought to have some kind of leadership role in the local church, every one of them. And if we ever gain that, ladies and gentlemen, we will have found a Father's Day prayer. Anybody get anything out of this? Let me bless you. Would you hold your hands up, men? God, give us this kind of revival. God, I love the presence of God as much as anyone else. But God, I'm praying for a revival of masculinity. Father, in these men, bless them with the blessings of Ephraim and Manasseh. Women, would you, ladies, would you hold your heads up? I bless them with the blessings of Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah. Now, all of them that hold their hands up, may the Lord bless you and protect you. And may the Lord make his face shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious to you. And the Lord look with favor upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Happy Father's Day. God bless you.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.